I'd like to thank the selection committee, in particular Baltimore selector Scott Garceau. You guys have a difficult job. Every year it seems like the job just gets tougher and tougher. I'm just thankful to be here along with these other gentlemen. Larry, Chris, Warren, Bill, Curly, Dave, what a tremendous new class. To be up here with these luminary legends of the game, to be inducted into the Hall of Fame with these guys is just unbelievable.
Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. Ain't a damn body touch the football. They get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three. Oh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast by the fans, for the fans. Enjoy your freedom of speech by downloading this podcast completely for free on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Now, this wouldn't be The Call if I wasn't joined by my good buddy, Josh. What's going on, dude?
Hey. Just got back from the Hall of Fame, man, as the intro was. It's going to be a Hall of Fame edition show, man, and do we have a jam-packed show for you guys.
There's plenty coming up, man. We're going to talk about the Hall of Fame, we're going to talk about training camp, we're going to have a preseason football this week. Going to be pretty
finally.
Cool. But let's start it off with, you got to do something really fun over the weekend. You got to go see Jonathan Ogden get inducted into the Hall of Fame. You went to Ohio. Take me through that experience.
I'm definitely going to take you through that experience. I hate to downplay the excitement, but I do want to start a show off on a somber note. Just this past weekend, obviously culminating with Hall of Fame festivities, a local great in Baltimore, Art Donovan passed away this weekend at 89, Baltimore Colt legend. So I just kind of wanted to take a moment to pay the respects where it's due. And this Baltimore Colt will be greatly missed. I never got a chance to meet him, but boy, did I live through other people, through the stories he's told throughout the years. And you know, he played alongside of all the greats here in Baltimore football history. So I just want to at least pay the respects for it's due. And Artie, we'll miss you. And hate to say, but another Art passes from us in the consecutive years. And maybe we'll have another Art patch to commemorate, and maybe another championship about it.
Yeah, you know, that's a good way to start the show. This guy did a lot for Baltimore and for football. And you might not remember this. I grew up a WWE fan. I watched wrestling ever since I was 3 years old, watching Hulk Hogan, Bret Hart, all those great ones. King of the Ring in 1994 was in Baltimore, Maryland, and I remember being there for that live show. That's when Owen Hart became King of the Ring. But one of the color commentators on there was Art Donovan. So he got to give his two cents on the world of wrestling. And as anybody knows who watches it, it's a very acquired taste. And it's something that it's entertaining and it's a lot of fun to watch. But if you don't know anything about wrestling, you don't really know what to expect. But Art Donovan, man, he was a great talker. He was a great football player. And if you watch anything from the 94 King of the Ring, he held his own up there against Macho Man and Gorilla Monsoon. So this guy really was a talented guy on and off the field. He definitely will be greatly missed here in Baltimore.
He will, man, and you never want to have a legend pass. We know that it is a constant in life, that death is around us and it will happen, and whether it's imminent in the future or in the long future, we never wish it, but you know it comes. But with that news, don't want to take away from the same, because we do have an exciting show, but another great legend, he will be missed. So thanks, Art, for all the memories in Baltimore. We want to pay that respects. And get into it, movie jumping from that. We definitely, like you brought up at the beginning of the show, I had the most incredible weekend I could ever have. I had a treat to take a road trip to Canton, Ohio, to see our first true Raven inducted into the National Football Hall of Fame. I still can't. This show, whether it's in an hour or how long this show is going to run tonight, but in the whole moments for this whole show isn't going to have the words, I'm never going to have the words, the excitement, and to capture everything that I've experienced, even all my pictures. I've yet to upload anything. But wow, what, if you're a football fan, not, you don't even have to be a Ravens fan. You can be Browns fan, Steelers fan, whatever. You need to visit the whole thing. It has to be on your football bucket list. Let me tell you this, it just, not only from the Ravens history there, because there is Ravens artifacts in the Hall of Fame, and I will get to that, but just the football history, the, you know, how, why Canton, Ohio was dubbed as the birthplace of pro football, and believe it or not, I do have a plaque I took a picture of. Obviously, I didn't you know, take some notes and do a history lesson, so I don't have those with me because the picture's on my hard drive, but on my camera. But anyway, I found out why Canton was the birthplace. Literally, where do I begin? I mean, I'll probably be jumping all over the place. Well, let me start. Friday, we went up Friday through Sunday. It was an incredible road trip. I wouldn't say a big quarter Ravens fans were there, maybe a pocket, 1,500, 2,000 at the most. I did see fan man, I seen a captain defense. There was Ravens represented well. I did see, you know, from amongst what I can see, every time someone's in line, out of the 10 fans that were in line, there was maybe four or five Ravens jerseys sprinkled in there. So it was really good to see. What a treat. What an honor. Let's see, Saturday, I spent all day milling around the property. Pretty much, you didn't know who you run into. Your head was on a swivel. Just, Brandon, picture this. Imagine just walking out your front porch and pretty much there's people everywhere, jerseys from, you know, every team, every city, every, you know, everything's represented there in front of you. And then just amongst the crowds, the legends are walking around. How would you handle that, man? It's just incredible.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do. That's a pretty amazing thing to even think about, just being surrounded by all these people. I mean, us Raven fans, we're pretty used to just being surrounded by the craziness that is our fan base and everybody screaming and hollering and having a good time. But to actually have all of these people that everyone's been cheering on for so many years, I mean, to be that close, that's something really special as a football fan, to be able to get that close to the people that you follow for so long.
It is, man. And, you know, obviously when it comes down to it, there's people like us. They just make better money or they're in the spotlight more. But a lot of these guys, they're just legends. I mean, that's it. It's a legendary gathering. This weekend was the 50th anniversary of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So they had the largest gathering of returning Hall of Famers ever that were assembled. It was incredible. Where do I begin? Let's see, Saturday, I got to meet the great Wizard of Oz. Ozzy Newsome, I got to meet him in person, shake his hand personally. He signed a little mini helmet of mine. I'll post Twitter's pending. You know, Twitter post will be pending because I have a lot of pictures to update Facebook. But I met the great Oz. You know, it was just a pleasure to meet him. I told him, you know, how proud are you for J.O.? It's great. You know, he's the architect of this team, this organization. He knows how to pick them. We were joking. I said, you pick them right, man. First two are going to be in Hall of Famers consecutive, you know, 5 years apart. It's just, what amazing cornerstone it is. One on offense, one on defense, both in the first round. You can't say much more than that. And that's a unique story about our team and our team's history is, you know, we were dubbed as the Baltimore Ravens, and Ozzy didn't even touch on it in his speech, how they didn't even know what team they were. And when he got drafted, he had a sweatshirt with just the name Baltimore Ravens ablazed in across of it. There was no logo, no colors. Nothing was even – that's how new the Ravens were, even drafting these players. And Ogden was saying in his speech, obviously I'm paraphrasing, he just didn't know where it was going to take him. And he was drafted, he goes, okay. And then next thing you know, he starts, you know, in a Pro Bowl every year except his rookie year. He wins a world championship. I mean, it's just those things you don't think of. And this town was about football for 13 years. And just look at it, in the last 17 years, we've gotten playoff bursts, two world championships, division titles, AFC titles. The list goes on, and with Pro Bowls and Hall of Famers pretty much picked every year in the draft. Wow. And just going off of that, Saturday, we're walking around. We've seen TV personalities from NFL Network, ESPN, got to talk to them. And anywhere, I mean, I'm just going to name a few names, but like Chris Carter was on the sidewalk walking by, you know, shook his hand. Chris Carter's walking around. Hall of Fame inductee, just, you know, my buddy was just like, hey, get the camera. I didn't have time because he was pretty quick. Chris Carter walks right by me, shake his hand, we're sitting next to the credentials area. Roger Staubach, great legend of the Cowboys fame, comes walking right by us.
Wow.
I mean, what? Yeah. Jim Kelly came on up the stairs into the Hall of Fame right by us. I was 5 feet from the commissioner, Roger Goodell. He was there was a whole swarm of fans around him. He was a nice guy, saying a few things. He even took a picture with a Ravens fan. He was all dressed up. He's like, I got to take a picture with this guy. So Roger was in good spirits, and it was good to see him interacting with the fans. The great Jerry Rice and Steve Young walked right by me. I saw Mike Ditka for a brief moment. I mean, pretty much, you name a legend, and if they're living, I've probably seen them because they were all there. The great John Madden was in attendance. I didn't need him, but he was up on stage. Howie Long. The list can go on and on and on and on. Wow, what a representation. The ceremony was touching. There was a few laughable moments, a few tearjerkers, and obviously going through the show, I'm going to highlight my favorite moments of the speeches. Obviously, Ogden's for our show's sake, obviously I'm going to go through. You know, Chris Carter was one of my – he brought it all together because he was a Buckeye. He was a hometown guy. He was born in Ohio, and a unique story. Brandon and I, actually, we were out front, and we ran into a couple who grew up with Chris Carter's family. Hmm. And they watched him grow up since he was little. So it was really good to get that perspective on, you know, Chris Carter, the child, versus, you know, the professional, and then get to hear his speech. It just, you know, you get to hear these stories. And I think it was on NFL Network today. I was just briefly watching, and Deion Sanders made a point to say this, and it brought it – I'm going to bring this to our show is – you know, when you listen to these speeches and you look at these stories, they're all unique. All seven stories are unique.
Yeah.
But they all culminate in one thing. They're enshrined in the Hall of Fame, so they were great players. They've had a great career. But just really just to hear the battles they've been through, the hardships, the whole how, you know, you never want to feel sorry for them because it's inspiration. Because I've heard some people say some nasty things. Well, and all it is pump up and filler, and oh, it's blah blah blah. We need to feel sorry for them. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. Because I mean, Chris Carter was saying how his mom, you know, dropped out of high school, you know, and raised seven kids. He didn't have a father. It's just you hear these things, and obviously we know Ray Lewis's personal story. Everybody has their story, and it's just a great chance to see that. You know, Bill Parcells brought it up. A lot of good points because he had a different perspective because he was a coach rather than a player.
Right.
So he got to deal with different things, and his speech was even great because his was about teaching young men, instructing them and coaching them and mentoring them versus, you know, playing hard and getting stats and getting this. It was just, where I began. And then
he's got to be the role model for the role models.
Exactly. He's got to be because then, you know, who knows? He coached some Hall of Famers themselves. I mean, Lawrence Taylor, Phil Fenton. I mean, where do you just reel them off? He's coached four different teams to the playoffs, so he's been around there. And obviously, Sunday, I got to meet them all. Wow, isn't that a great honor? I mean, you look at this. Just think about this, Brandon, just for 1 second. Dave Robinson, you know, Green Bay Packer, finally inducted the Hall of Fame. The dude is a legend. He played on Vince Lombardi teams. Imagine that. I shook hands with a player who played for Vince Lombardi.
That's pretty amazing.
It is amazing, and it just gives me chills to think about it. Then it goes from that to a guy like Jonathan Ogden, who is a first ballot Hall of Famer on a team that's only 17 years old. So you just got – you have it all right in front of you. It just you look at it, and it's just – you know, Warren Sapp was colorful. Larry Allen, Curly Culp, they were just all a class act, and just – wow, and what a weekend. And not only give it to the artifacts piece, but the Hall of Fame itself. When you walk into that room and see those 200-plus busts sitting in front of you, wall to wall, wow, you're actually in the Holy Grail of the Hall of Fame right there. I mean, you just basically reached the pinnacle of the trip. You know, you don't know what to do. You just stand around. I mean, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back within 5 years when Ray does or even before that, but... I obviously missed some pictures because I was just such in awe because I got taken back. And the excitement, I froze because I didn't know what to do. It was just, where do I start taking pictures? You know, you don't want to take 200 pictures of each bust, but it was just, you know, I got to select a few. I got to take one of, I saw Johnny Unitas' bust, man. That was incredible. I took a picture with Ogden's, touched Ogden's. I took quick pictures of Jerry Rice, Emmitt Smith, some of my favorite players back in the day. I saw John Elway, Steve Young, so you can name it, they were there. Looking in the artifacts section, there is Ravens history, believe it or not, in the Hall of Fame, obviously we have the players and the organization with the two titles. But some of the things I will post toothpicks on this, but just think about for this. Ogden's, of course, there was Ogden stuff in there, Hall of Fame for display, pylon from the 2000 Super Bowl, his jersey. But check this out, Brandon. You remember Charles Suggs won Defensive Player of the Year in 2011?
Right.
Yeah, his whole uniform was encased from that year. His jersey, pants, helmet, everything.
Wow.
Pretty cool. I got an opportunity to get a re-signing a couple years back before he left Baltimore. Of him signing the 108 interception return. You remember that in 2008 against Philly when we trounced him at home?
Yeah.
When he picked off Kevin Cobb for in the end zone and ran up. They actually had his jersey and cleats hanging in the Hall of Fame from that game.
so pretty much the NFL knows if something big is going to happen, they need the shirt off their backs, they need the helmets, they need to make sure all of that is encased somewhere, because guys like you and me are going to want to see this kind of stuff.
Exactly, and you basically just hit right on the head, because guess what? They tore off the shirt of his back and basically took all of his equipment, sitting on display right in the Hall of Fame, and just as you just said it, right off of his back, fresh off the Super Bowl win, they actually have Ray Lewis's last uniform all encased in a case, together. You can see even the jersey stains on it. You can see the sweat stains are still on it, man. It's freaking incredible.
Well, I hope they at least put it like through a washing machine at least once.
Well, I joked. I said, I bet you inside that case stinks. His Under Armour shoes, Nike gloves, his pants, and even the helmet. And I actually had two Steeler fans behind me taking pictures, and there was a Packer fan there too. And the Steeler fan said that helmet's more intimidating in person than it is on TV, even without anybody in it. And it just sits there. It's that black visor, that mask. It's just sitting there all ghostly looking. It's just
He looks like Super Shredder from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Yeah, Bane reborn, pretty much. He just wanted to start talking. But I took a picture next to that, and that was just incredible. Dude, I stood at the case for 5 minutes, and my buddy was like, are you done yet? Are you watering at the mouth? I'm like, dude, like, this is it, man. Like, and they had a pylon from this year's Super Bowl, even the football that Flacco used to throw the three touchdowns. That was in there. So I tweeted that, too. I said, hey, of all the things, if you want to make fun of everybody, you know, who's better, who's not, obviously, the whole Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco comparison, because they were brought in the same years, and you can make a case for each end. You know, one's a great regular season, one's inconsistent, but has the playoff records and Super Bowl victory and MVP. But I tweeted something, because I actually have a picture of Flacco in the Super Bowl. Nothing of Flacco's is in there, right now, but I look at it this way. Flacco's picture was in the Hall of Fame, and Matt Ryan's wasn't, so I thought that was pretty fun.
That's a good point. That's a good point right there. You're seeing it firsthand.
Yeah, I've seen it firsthand, the picture of the Super Bowl. Believe it or not, speaking of our past Super Bowl, there is a plaque, or not a plaque, but there's like a fax wall. There's all kinds of facts I will post up. I'm going to be bouncing the walls over here, because there's so much information. The Hall of Fame, pretty much, it took about 2 hours to tour it, because you just take your time. It's at your own pace. So if you want to breeze through, you can, or if you want to just sit there and just take it all in, you can. But they had a tidbit, the fact wall right on the top right-hand corner. It said the Super Bowl 47 was the most watched television show in U.S. history.
Wow.
So not even NFL history, but just in general. So, wow, what a great to be a part of that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the Baltimore Ravens representing the highest ratings right there.
Yeah. Hey, another more bragging right for us. Keep it coming. Forget these Pittsburgh and these six rings. We have it all. I mean, we even have the highest postseason winning percentage in NFL history, too, so we can boast about that. But we're undefeated in Super Bowls. Pittsburgh's not.
Right.
And as far as New England. But anyway, that has for talk during the season. But looking at everything in there, I mean, I had there's a football from Johnny Unitas throwing for 40,000 yards. They have Walter Payton's cleats, Vince Lombardi's bench, pretty much, you name it. I took a picture. They had a Brett Favre jersey from Minnesota. I think one of his last jerseys, or when he broke a record or something. Because there was like plaque in there, I tell you. Pretty much our whole history of the NFL is in there. I mean, Paul Brown's jacket, Jim Thorpe's leatherhead helmet. I mean, pretty much, you name it, it's in there. And if it's not there, there's some sort of fact about it. Because some things were removed, and they told you why they were removed, like they had to get them refurbished, or they gave it back to the player. Like there was a game ball, Brett Favre had a game ball, and then it said it was temporarily unavailable, And I asked my wife, and I think because they either donated it or they did something with it. But pretty much anything that's significant, like there's a record, it's going to the Hall. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't see it, but Calvin Johnson's stuff in there wasn't in there yet. And obviously he broke Jerry Rice's record last year for receiving in a season, so that wasn't in there yet. I didn't see that. But pretty much, Brandon, you get the gist of it. It's just a whole building full of rich of history and excitement and memories. Just looking at the Ravens, Alan ain't even had a jersey from the year 2000 of Ray Lewis. So the Ravens are represented. I mean, you got the Hall of Famers, Ed Reed, future Hall of Famers, Ed Reed, Ray Lewis will be in. Just, wow. Where do I begin? And then we got to go to a Hall of Fame game. We sat pretty close, got to see the best NFL action live. Football's back. And it just, you know, basically what it comes down to is, in a little bit, I'm just going to, you know, before we segue into covering the preview of the preseason, I kind of want to just go over highlights of this weekend. I'm going to throw some of my favorite tidbits in there. Obviously, I'll highlight some of the things Ogden said. And then Chris Carter, I tell you what, everybody asked, was I crying with Ogden? I was on the verge. I was more proud because it was a proud moment because, you know what, you know, he was first off the docket. He spoke first. So it was just proud to just stand in that stadium, that ceremony, wear my Jonathan Ogden jersey, you know, and just, you know, wear my Baltimore pride and just really, you know, stand up and applaud him. And that was a proud moment. I think it all comes crashing down when Ray goes in. I think Ray's speech will be the speech of all speeches, and that's going to be a powerful moment. But one of the powerful moments was when Carter got up last. What a way to close out the Hall of Fame. He did it with such passion, such vigor. It's just, man, it's just, I mean, obviously, if you've seen the highlights, you would know. But unless you were there in person just hearing it, and the woman behind me, you know, wearing an Ohio State Buckeyes shirt because obviously we're in Ohio. He was born in Ohio, went to Ohio State. It was just like a homecoming, you know. It was just almost like for us when Ray went down to Tampa and won the Super Bowl. You know, that's where he was from, his legacy. It just, it all ties in.
Yeah.
So just, and then with Ed Reed being from the New Orleans area. So we kind of, you know, each player has their own legacies. So it's just, I'm going to highlight some of those things. And Warren Sapp had a couple of colorful moments. Bill Parcells brought a few good points home. So we'll go through these highlights and enjoy these first few moments. And we'll break it up and then we'll come back and preview preseason game number one.
I just really want to thank the fans and the city of Baltimore. I mean, when I came to the Ravens, when I came to Baltimore in 1996, we had no team. We had no history. Didn't even have team colors. We just had a name. I can remember at the draft, I had that black jacket with the white letters that said Baltimore Ravens and the white hat with the black letters that said Baltimore Ravens. And in the back of my mind, I was saying, I don't really know where we're going with this right now. But either you just drafted me, assured me, said, our goal is to make a winner here. And I told him, I want to be a part of that. You know? And when we got there, those first few years at Memorial Stadium, the Ravens were new to everybody. It was a new team, and we were new to the city. We were all rookies together. I watched us grow, myself as a player, and the fans as an NFL city, from infancy to one of, if not the best, football towns in the National Football League, with undoubtedly the best and most passionate fans that I have ever seen, and I want to thank you guys for being there. It was for you who, at the end of the day, I enjoyed performing, and you guys are the reason we could go out there every Sunday and lay it all on the line, because we knew that you appreciated everything that we did, and you appreciated everything that I did. I am so very proud to have been the Baltimore Ravens' first ever draft choice. And I am so humbled to be the Baltimore Ravens' first ever Hall of Fame inductee. Thank you all. Thanks again and good night.
The Eagles organization, they took a chance on me. Buddy Ryan drafted me. He tried to grow me up in the league. And actually what Buddy Ryan did was the best thing that ever happened for me when he cut me and told me I couldn't play for his football team. But he told me a story. He told me the night before he went home and talked to his wife. and he asked his wife what he should do. And his wife told him, don't cut Chris Carter. He's going to do something special with his life. So, Buddy Ryan and your lovely wife, I thank you. You're going into the hall with me tonight.
Well, that's some pretty amazing stuff right there. If you didn't see the Hall of Fame, here's a little bit of audio from it. So that's pretty cool. And you know, a lot of great guys going in there, a lot of great legends, and a lot of inspirational stuff there. So if you need to be inspired in any way this week, I think this show's pretty much got you covered with all those little tidbits. But if you're a Ravens fan, we're going to get to the part of the show that everybody's talking about right now, and it's the preseason. The first preseason game is this Thursday coming up, and what we're going to do is let's start off by talking about something that kind of came out today during training camp. Ed Dixon, you know, we've talked about him in the past, especially with this Dana Pitta injury, how the spotlight is now on Ed Dixon. Well, it seems that he has a slight hamstring tear, which could mean that we don't see him in any of the preseason games. Now, of course, we brought this up before, that preseason is for a lot of the rookies and a lot of the guys that are trying to get a job, and you don't see a lot of the starters play very often. But I think a lot of people wanted to see Ed Dixon and you know, get reassured that just because Dennis Pitt is hurt now for the season, that Ed Dixon was going to be able to come in and pick up the slack. But without seeing Ed Dixon in the lineup, at least until week one, Josh, let me ask you, how does this injury affect the team just going into the preseason so far?
Of course it's going to affect it. Anybody goes down, whether they're first, second, or third string, it's going to affect the depth chart in some way. It's a ripple effect. It's really hard to say. Preseason game week one, I'm very interested to see what's going to happen to the depth chart. I mean, right now, Chanko is first in line. Pretty much what it comes down to is let's see what these guys can perform. It's next man up for Chanko right now. He's going to be starting. We just hope that if it's a slight tear, whatever it is, we just hope it heals quickly. We can get back in week preseason two, because I really hate to see anything that happen already on our tight ends because we're pretty thin. But I'm going to monitor that because I'm kind of iffy on saying yay or nay on that kind of injury because, you know, we've had players in the past have those type of injuries, whether they're slight or whether they're kind of mild or serious, and they've turned themselves into major injuries. Like, oh, you know, like what happened with, he'll be back around week two or three, and it turned out to be season ending. So we didn't know because I remember texting you. I said, oh, at least it's not season ending. And what happened 2 hours later? Pitt is gone for a year. So you really don't know how these things can take shape because obviously the team's going to be mumbling them for a while. But we're basically, I'm just excited to see Chanko up at tight end, see what connections Flacco can make in it if they only play one or two series and whatever impact he can make. Obviously, when we go on in games two or three, we'll find out even more when they have more playing time. But right now, I'm just focusing on who's going to contribute in this first game and really hopefully, you know, the key is no injuries.
That's really the key, and we're going to talk about this tight end that we just picked up, this former Minnesota Viking, and the big thing with him right now is, yeah, he's a veteran, and we know that he's a good player and everything, but he's got to learn the Ravens system. The Ravens have their own way of doing things. It's Joe Flacco's offense, so it seems to me, I mean, at least from what I'm hearing from training camp, that he is working hard to learn the system, that he is, you know, spending special time with Joe Flacco so he can get all this stuff down, but we'll see how it works out for him. But right now it seems like he's learning the system, and he's gonna, at least in this preseason game, we're gonna see him for at least a quarter, maybe a half, and we'll see how he gels so far with Joe Flacco.
Absolutely, and that's what you want to hope in the season, and actually not in the season but in the preseason respectively, that you want to see that chemistry come together, whether they're connecting on passes, they're running the right routes, if Joe Flacco is calling a high read, you kind of want to see that develop. And it's going to be hard to see it again in this first game. Everybody's just going to be excited. I mean, I was just excited to see the Cowboys and Dolphins play on Sunday. And I'm just going to be even more excited to see our boys play on Thursday. I'm actually not going to see them play, obviously, due to other activities. But I will be following along on the phone stats-wise. So I'm going to see what they do, how they do it. And I get to cut the highlights a little bit later. I'm going to watch those. But hopefully if you can text me if anything major happens or if you see anything before my stat sheet would update, please, anybody, feel free to tweet me, text me, email me, whatever, because I'm going to need all the help I can get on this one because, unfortunately, I won't be around a television for this one.
Yeah, we'll make sure you stay updated on that one.
I'm pretty sure I will. I got my ways, but you never know. Plus, I have my phone dying out there on me. I'm very excited to see what matchups, especially on defense, because I hear R. Jones is having an incredible camp on the defensive side. So I just, again, don't read much into the hype, how they're doing at camp, because you're not going to get Steve translating the field anytime soon, not till maybe this time next week when we talk about the game number two, when they're actually back home for games two and three. Obviously, I'll get to see them in person even more. And just to see the energy, the fans will be back to football. The players will probably play a whole first half, so we'll get a good gauge on what they're going to do. But pretty much this is just the appetizer, we're just getting the first round of drinks, and we're just putting the appetizers in the oven right now. We're just getting ready for some good football, but we're really not going to get the meat and potatoes until week number one, September 5th. That's when it really gets going.
That's right. This is really to see what the rookies and the guys that are free agents, what they bring to the table. Now, is there any rookie right now that you're going to at least keep an eye out for to see what he does? Because I find this interesting. Unlike the NHL, where they have a draft, the NHL will have a draft, and then you don't see those guys for another 3 to 4 years, if ever, on the team. I mean, they may fizzle out in college or in the minor leagues, or they might just stay home in Russia. In the NFL, they get drafted, and they're under the microscope immediately. They're playing. They're starting most of the games their next season. So is there anybody that recently was drafted or drafted last year? Is there anybody that you're really going to be looking for to step up and show their game?
Yes, sir. His name's Art Brown. The linebacker goes in this year. Pretty much not going to step in the void where Ray left it, but we need some help in that linebacker corps. And the reason why I don't see Matt Elam and I picked Art Brown is because we know what Elam's going to do. I know what Elam brings in, obviously, with a first-round draft choice out of Florida, and we know he's going to be feeling great in for safety. He might even start. Right now, the job's his to lose, I'd say. This early, I'd say. That's my opinion. I'm going to stick to it. But I'm expecting to see Elam start for the defense. But Art Brown, I'm hoping Art Brown can make a difference. If he's going to make a difference for us in the linebacking core, because we need the depth chart there. We need help on that chart. And it's pretty much what it comes down to. Can he contribute and can he stay healthy? And that's what we wanted to see in the preseason. That's why they evaluated. And I love preseason because you're seeing these jobs on the line. I don't know where you work or anybody works for that matter, but how would you like to be monitored every day and be put against somebody, a rival of yours, and compete for one job? You two go head-to-head at it, and people get to watch you do it. No job on this earth other than in professional sports, you get to see that, and that's why I'm excited to see it, whether it's our team or the other team, because these guys are competing for jobs. This is the best competition you're going to get. So I might even say sometimes it's better than the actual games themselves, because you got guys fighting for their livelihood, making money, supporting their family. These guys, they're not trying to make the practice squad. They want to start. I know practice squatters make league minimum or whatever they make, $500,000, but I know $500,000 to be on the practice squad, I'd sign up. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's what, like 100 times more than what I make. So I'd be on practice squad just for that. Here, beat me up. I don't care. Here, I'll be the punching bag for the offensive or defensive line. Just, pay me. But anyway, it's just that's what it comes down to. It's jobs on the line, and it's really hard to pick out any stars. But I'd really like to see who shines on the second and third string come Thursday night.
Yeah, there's a lot of names. There's a lot of repeat names that I'm interested to see, at least in this preseason. You might remember a guy last preseason who really made a splash was Bobby Rainey. I want to see what he brings to the table. He's on the practice squad still. He's a guy that I'd like to see what he's going to do, what he's going to do this year, how he has grown being in the Ravens organization for so long. Another name that comes up a lot, but he doesn't see a lot of playing time, Laquan Williams. He's a hometown boy from Baltimore, went to school here, went to University of Maryland, but you don't see a lot of them. during the regular season. So let's see if he has grown any more as a player. And there's other guys that we actually did see a lot of, and still they're not having the most secure job, like a guy like Shockey Brown. I hope I'm saying his name right. And he's a guy that I liked a lot, and I saw a lot from him. But this is still a test. Every single day is a test for these guys. And even if you're in the practice squad or not, you still want to be on that field every Sunday and play for the Ravens.
You do. And that's what it comes down to. Who's going to make the final 53? And it's a tough thing to predict. I know there's contests held about it. There's bets held about it. When it comes down to it, who's going to perform? Do you want it more than the other guy sitting next to you? And it's going to show you only got 3 or 4 games to do it in. You know, it's quick. It goes by really quick. For you know it, I mean, it's August, what? Is today August 5th, right?
That's right.
I mean, in a month from now, we're playing real football. I mean, it's hard to believe, but it all counts a month from now. In Denver, under the lights, Thursday Night Football, it's going to count. So what are you made of? And which 53 mighty men are we going to take? That's what it comes down to. And I'm excited to really get down to the nitty-gritty, meat, potatoes, whatever you call it, and I'll see what Tampa Bay has to throw the best game at us. And there's really no matchups to be had here. And that's what preseason brings. There's no matchups to watch out. There's no one-on-one things. There's no receivers going against that. It's about, can Williams contribute? Can David Reed contribute? These receivers are going to need to catch some balls. And whether they're coming from Flacco or they're coming from Taylor, someone's going to need to catch these footballs, because obviously with Pitta out and Bolden going, someone's going to have to step up. And hopefully Torrey can carry that torch, and Jacoby, being the elusive runner he is, hopefully he can have the hands to deal with it too.
Absolutely. And another name I want to throw out there to you, on the offense at least, is Tandon Doss. He's a guy that did play one or two. He got a touchdown in the Houston game last year. We talked about him last week. He's a guy that I think you're going to see him play a lot of the preseason. He might not play the entire game, but maybe a half to three quarters, Tandon Doss is going to be out there. And with Bolden gone, a lot of people said right after Bolden left, all right, well it's Tandon Doss's ball to lose pretty much. So he's another one, I think, this game especially, you're going to see a lot from him, hopefully, and we see where he lands after the preseason.
Right, and just like I said, if it all culminates in the, you know, who makes it, who doesn't, someone's obviously going to get left out. But I don't know how it is where they can, obviously this isn't baseball ready to get called up, but you know, we hope that if one of our favorites goes down, if one of our favorites don't make it, if who we thought was going to make it didn't, and this is where it all comes down to. This is what preseason's all about. I really can't wait to see it. Week one's going to prove to us, you know, where we stand as a team, how it all has happened the last 2 weeks, where practices stand. I keep hearing all the time, we have good practices. They're having good practices. Some of them looks great. They're in shape, but hey, let's see it. You know, I can't wait to see Elvis Dimmerville line up for the first time. I can't wait to see how long Matt Elam plays for the first time. I can't wait to see Joe Flacco throw on footballs to whoever it's to, whether it's a lazy pass or a laser beam. You know, we're going to get that right in weeks 2 and 3 when they play a lot more. But really, I'm just excited. You know, let's line up, play some football. Let's get out of there, no injuries, evaluate. And then week two, preseason two is going to bring a lot more weight to it, a lot more dissecting who we're going to look out for. But it pretty much comes down to key, and it's basically injury. That's pretty much key to any game in the preseason, but especially week one. We already lost Pitt in practice. You don't ever know what a game's going to bring. So you want to see big plays, you want to see big hits, you want to see razzle-dazzle, you want to see hard-nosed defense, but at the same time, you know, the other team, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they don't want to get hurt either. They're evaluating their own talent. They're doing the same thing we are. So they just want a pretty clean-played game. This isn't a divisional battle. Just keep it clean. Who cares about the score? Honestly, I can go 6-0. That don't mean squat, because I know fans gawk about that. Oh, we got waxed in the preseason game. You know, oh my God, we're going to look horrible. If we end up losing 27-0 on Thursday night, now all I care about is the actual games that are really won. Who's winning positions? Who looked good? Who didn't look good? And that's what it comes down to. You have to put your coach's hat on and think about that. Forget the score. Score don't mean nothing. I mean, there were some stats where some teams won all their preseason games and they would have a crappy season. Some teams would go 0-4 and then win the Super Bowl. So really, you can't have any stock in that. That's all, you know, fanfare and fun and stats and games. But again, injuries, if nobody gets hurt, I'm happy.
Yeah, this is a fun time to watch to be a football fan, but really these preseason games are for the coaching staff and for the front office to see what guys can do, because there's only so much you can see in training camp. But if you want to watch the preseason game, and of course you do if you're a Ravens fan, make sure you tune in. It's August 8th at 7:30 is when coverage starts. It's going to be on WBAL TV this time around. And if you're if you have to work or can't see it, you can listen to it on 98 Rock or on 1090 AM WBAL as well. Now, before we head off, one more question for you, Josh. A suspension was announced last week. Asa Jackson, he got caught with performance-enhancing drugs. And he was suspended for 8 games. He was caught for the same thing last year, got suspended for 4. So did he play a big enough part in this team where the Ravens are going to worry about who's going to step up for him? Or was this just a dumb move by a guy who the Ravens are might let go?
Yeah, I mean, let's see how that plays out. I just unfortunately see one of our own get trouble like that, whether, you know, at this point, what the Ravens want to do with him at this point. I haven't heard of any cuts as of yet. Whether he has been officially let go is under my knowledge, but I want to look into that. But again, it's unfortunate to see one of our own involved in a story like that. Wow, I mean, when I first heard about it, I was just like, well, you know, gee, that sucks. But again, you know, you can't really have sympathy for, you know, I would be reserved here and call him dumb and stupid, but it is kind of what it is. You know, if you're going to be dumb and stupid and take performance-enhancing drugs and be a cheater, you know, there's no sympathy for that. It's, well, you dug your own grave. You know, I can understand some mishap, fortunate, like with Pitta, oh, he fractured his hip, broke it. Oh, well, sorry, buddy. Hope you get better. We'll see you next year. Wish him well. But that kind of thing is just, you know, you just have to just shake your head in disappointment and dismay and go, well, you know, we'll see what happens, whether there's suspensions, fines, and how the Ravens want to handle that. You don't want any bad publicity. But it's just unfortunate because I knew the Ravens took a risk on that pick. He was going to be, Ozzie had high hopes. Harv's had high hopes. Everybody had high hopes for the guy. It's just going to be unfortunate to see if he can't play in a Raven uniform. It's going to be unfortunate because, you know, we want the best guys to bring the talent to the table, and it just sucks that we're going to lose his talent.
Yeah, he was a guy that Harbaugh said, hey, he is a great talent. We're really going to miss him on the field. But there's no place for that in this organization or in this league.
No time for that.
No, so he should have been smarter. Asa Jackson did go out on Twitter, though. You got to give him credit and say, yeah, I had to take this medicine, and I didn't get the right paperwork done by the NFL, and it's very strict. So I made a mistake, and I have to right. Answer for it. So, I mean, at least he did say that. He did come out and say, yeah, I messed up. But we won't see him for 8 games. Whether he comes back after that remains to be seen. We'll see what happens. But here we go. August 8th at 7:30, the Ravens versus the Buccaneers. Here's going to be your first taste of football for this season. It's going to be a fun one, folks. It's going to be something to watch. It's going to be a lot of rookies. We're going to see some Joe Flacco on the field for just a little bit. We'll see maybe one or two touchdowns. You never know with Joe Flacco. But, hey, did we miss anything?
Not a chance.
So hopefully you guys like our new tagline, not a chance. Got to move it over a little
not
bit.
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
Yeah. Am I going to learn it? Not a chance, probably. I'm going to keep saying Ed Reed's got it, and he's probably got something somewhere, but well, I don't know.
He's just got bad hip. That's all he has.
Well, he's got a ring with us. I'm happy, and he's got records all over the place, and I surely miss the guy. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
Yeah.
oh, man. We'll work on that. But, yeah, not a chance. That's our little tagline for this year.
Yeah. So if you want to talk football with us, you want to talk to us during the preseason game, easiest way to reach us, of course, is through Twitter, through social media. You can follow me on Twitter, at Brando Cash, and Josh, you're on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you?
They can follow me at ItalianGQ52.
That's right. If you're on Facebook, who isn't on Facebook anymore, make sure that you go like the show. It's facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there whenever we release any kind of information, any kind of polls or anything like that. That's where we'll do it, over on Facebook. And don't forget about the Brando Cash Network. Go to facebook.com/BrandoCash and like the network over there. You'll get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. We got plenty of stuff going on, so make make sure you stay up to date with that. Now, of course, I don't know how you're listening to the show right now. Thank you for listening no matter what, but there's plenty of ways to do it. You can go into iTunes, search The Call Podcast, and click subscribe. Even if you've done that in the past, do it one more time. We did switch servers over the summer, so it's going to be a new stream. Make sure that you subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us an iTunes review. Let us know what you think of the show. If you're an Android user, or if you are an iPhone user and you just like this better, Stitcher Smart Radio is also an option. We're on Stitcher. Search The Call and make us one of your favorite stations. And every time we post something on thecall.brandocash.com, it'll get streamed straight to Stitcher, and that way you can listen to it on your mobile device, on the road, in the gym, cutting the lawn, whatever you want to do and just want to hear about some Ravens football. We'll be in your ear completely for free. It's easy stuff, man. It's free entertainment right there. You don't have to pay for anything. Now, if you do like the show, if you don't like the show, just let us know. Either way, man, go onto social media and tell a friend. Go onto Facebook, to Twitter, to Tumblr, to Pinterest, to Vine, any other kind of app out there, and let people know that you're a Call fan. If you're on Reddit, let people know that you enjoy the Call podcast and that they should listen as well, because the show will only get bigger and better with your help. So, of course, we're going to need you guys to let people know that you're big fans of The Call. So I think that's pretty much it this week. Josh, you know what to do.
I know what to do. Fans, appreciate you listening. Appreciate the week. Once upon us, we had a great Hall of Fame ceremony. Let's root on and see if we can find any future Hall of Famers out there in the field this year. Preseason week number one. Let's go Baltimore Ravens, fly high.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.